Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Playful Podcast, your guide into the underground scene where we discover topics on kink and electronic music every week. Don't forget to subscribe to not miss out on our next episode. We're here today with Sarah Subkoshek, who has been living the 24/7 lifestyle together with as many as 5 servants. Today she's here with one of her subs. Sarah is letting us in on all things when it comes to having a 24/7 slave. In our conversation, we speak about how she got introduced to the slave dom role play at first, how the relationship looks and works, meaning what rules the subs have to play by, how she finds them, and what the ordinary day in this constellation looks like, and much more. I am Amanda, and this is Playful Podcast.
Either they sent me a message like, hey, are you still looking for a servant? I would be interested. They say something like this, or they're like, hey, I'm a servant and I'm looking for blah, 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 blah. And then they have like a whole list of stuff that they want.
And what could that be, the list?
Like, I'm into needle play. I'm into like being peed on. I'm into like being spanked.
How long have you been a dominatrix, or how long have you been having servants for?
That's a good question. I kind of have to think about it for a second. I think this is like my 3rd year or something in that range.
How did it all start?
Well, there have been 2 starting points. The first one was a friend I met, and I remember that we kind of had like a girls' night. We were drinking, and at some point we kind of started telling our secrets. We were like, yeah, let's do let's just share secrets. And I remember I had started to sell my underwear and like used socks and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, it's nobody's gonna have like anything worse than I do. And then I'm like, yeah, lately I've been starting to sell my like underwear and stuff. So my friend is like, yeah, well, I have a slave and a sugar daddy. And I was like, what?
Were you close friends?
No, I just met her like a couple of days ago. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. Tell me everything. And then the next day she was like, yeah, do you want to come have breakfast with me and my slave? He's going to serve you. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then we went to the slave's place, and it was the first time I saw something like this in real life. That was the first how do you say, encounter.
Yeah. How was that breakfast like?
Well, it was very interesting, I have to say. I remember my friend, she turned to me and she was like, don't be scared, like right before the person opened the door. And then he opens the door and there's just like this naked person on how do you say?
On all four.
And everywhere is like this dog stuff, but there's like no dog, like no
like a puppy water bowl and all these. Wow. Yes. Were they even dog toys or?
I don't remember. I just remember seeing like the first thing I saw was this like water bowl and I was like, okay, so there's no dog, so there can't just be one person drinking from that. And that was really exciting. Yes.
Yeah. How did the breakfast proceed?
Well, I think that he called me because I didn't have a dominatrix name or something. So he just called me Princess Sarah, which I really liked. I was like, oh, okay.
Did you keep that name sometimes?
I did not keep it. But now when I talk about it, I kind of have to like reuse it because I like it. So he was like, yeah, am I allowed to say hello to Princess Sarah? And I was like, okay, I'm taking the whole experience. So yes. And he started kissing my shoes. My shoes were so dirty. I was like, oh, it's kind of fun. And then he had made us like vegan breakfast and guided us to the table. And we sat down and had breakfast. And he would just like be on his floor naked next to us. And that was that. It was quite casual as well. Like I remember having like small talk with him about what he does for a living and stuff, and yeah, it was kind of a weird situation, but at the same time it was so casual that I really felt comfortable in it.
And how did you find your first ones?
Well, that was a couple of months later when I moved to Berlin. I remember because I was doing an event, like an art techno thing. And for the planning, I needed some help. And I remember I had to like get like two of these old TVs and like get it to my apartment. And I didn't have a car. I was kind of broke. And I was like, okay, what do I do? And then I remembered the whole slave thing. So I was like, okay, I went on one of these websites and it was like, I'm looking for somebody who's picking up these two old TVs. Tomorrow, like this is the address, this is the time. And then I just posted that. And I remember like half an hour later or so, like my whole, like I had so many messages. It was like 50 messages or so of people like wanting to, I didn't offer anything in return. I was just like, somebody picks me up here and brings me to there and that's it. And there were so many people messaging me and then I picked one and then we got the TV and I was like, ooh, that was fun.
I keep you.
Yeah, I didn't keep him. But then it was like, I'm interested. And then the next day I posted a different post and was like, I'm looking for a servant. And I think about that time is where we spoke the first time.
Ah, so and this was like 3 years ago? Or
it was actually December the 3rd. Keen, I think that
on Lucia
2019.
Okay, I love that he knows the date. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign. And I mean,
it was a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a Friday too.
Do you remember that was the first time that we spoke, or was it the first time that we saw each other?
It was the same day.
Oh, interesting.
We had some messages before, the day mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. and then we met. And this interesting spot in the
streets. Yeah, I remember that. Ah, so it was the same day. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and this was your first servant, or
well, this was my first, I would say, servant that has been with me for quite some time. Like some of them, it's kind of like dating. Like some of them you meet and you're like, oh, kind of not vibing. We don't want the same things. So I tested a couple of them. And he was one of them that I liked and that I kind of kept. Yeah.
How many do you have today?
Well, right now, the thing is, I'm right now not really having a lot of, I used to have, like, I think the most slaves I had at one time was like 5 slaves that I could kind of hit up. That was really fun. But it was also a lot of work. And right now I don't have a lot of time for it. So I'm currently mostly, when I need someone, using the slave or servant of a really good friend of mine. And that slave is kind of serving me too. Yeah.
Perfect. Good. So you don't have to invest so much time, but you still get it when you need it.
Yeah. And it's like really amazing and fun to share something like that with your friends. It's kind of like, I don't know, like going onto a date with your partner or something like that. And you're kind of in it together. So yeah, that's really fun.
That is so sweet. And like, how did you meet most of your slaves? Was it through websites or could there also be other situations?
That was something that was really interesting for me because at the moment I started like doing that and looking for people on the internet, I think my, I don't want to say aura, but like my, how do you say, Ausstrahlung?
Charisma.
Like my charisma or something changed and people started like randomly started asking me like, hey, I mean, it wasn't completely random because it was like, for example, at like fetish parties or stuff like that. But they just started coming up to me and being like, hey, can I be your slave? Do you want to like dominate me? And so they did also hit me up in real life and just walked up to me and like straight up like asked me, but I would say most of them I find through the internet and like specific websites and stuff. Yeah.
Do you have some kind of entry test for them to go through before you are hiring them or?
Yes, definitely. So I do have a couple of tricks, I would say, although it's not really just tricks, it also happens automatically, I think. And from the experience. So when I first start to talk with someone, or like the first message, like the way somebody approaches me, like it already says a lot. And people basically like, either they send me a message like, hey, are you still looking for a servant? I would be interested. They say something like this, or they're like, hey, I'm a servant and I'm looking for blah, 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 blah. And then they have like a whole list of stuff that they want.
And what then, could that be, the list?
Like, I'm into needle play. I'm into like being peed on. I'm into like being spanked, being like verbally humiliated in general. They are very specific and very typical wishes, I would say. Like the spanking thing is very like typical, but they're very, some of them have very, very, very specific things that they want. And some of those things, like for example, somebody wanted to be like tied up with, do you know what I mean? Like the steel thing with little needles on it.
Oh. Spike
threat or something, oh. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, like spiky metal strings and basically be tied with that, for example. Or like a lot of people actually want to be like branded by their doms. So to have like a tattoo or like a like literal branding with like heat and stuff. So yeah.
Did you do that?
I never done that. Because I'm not like a dominatrix in a sense of like I don't work at a studio or something, and there's a couple of things that I don't want to do because I'm just not really.
I was just gonna ask like what are your no-goes on the lists that they could send you?
Well, I remember one servant that I met, and he wasn't inexperienced, but he was quite young, and he wanted to be kicked in the balls really hard, which is also a very common thing. But that, for example, is something that I wouldn't do again, like now with like, without knowing 100% what I'm doing. Cause I remember I did it and like, it was really bad. Like I also in that moment, I realized for myself, like I'm more into mental domination than just being like, I do have like a sadistic side. I think everybody does. But I'm not like somebody who just likes to like give pain all the time. I prefer the mental stuff, I would say. So this is something that I wouldn't do again. Also, everything that has to do with like cutting and like blood yeah. and stuff like that is like not really my kink and also not really my knowledge.
Yeah. And what yeah. are some things that they could have on the list that you are like, yes, this is what I want?
Well, the best thing to have on the list is to have to not have a list. That's like my favorite. If they're like saying like, yeah, I want to be a servant and I want to like, even if they're new at it, like, but they're like really open to serve somebody, then this is something where I'm interested, where they're like, okay, I don't have like a specific thing in mind, but I want to have that kind of energy between us. And it's because it's the same for me. Like, I don't have like certain like tools that I need to use on my servant or like a sub. It's just, I'm super open to just experience stuff. And I think the other person should be too. And if they're not, I would propose to them to go into like a studio or something if they just have like certain practices. Like
yeah. But you do have some rules you have to obey. Yes,
definitely.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I definitely do have like a list of or a set of rules that every slave or servant has to obey. And the most important ones are like, for example, they're not really allowed, especially like in a play setting, they're not really allowed to look at me without a permission. They have like different, that's what I really enjoy as well, to like give them different commands. For example, if I snap my finger, he would like start to kneel down and like kiss my feet, for example, and to have like different commands where they obviously need to obey. I prefer to have like, we call it like service subs, so they're literally like servants, and they have to show me that they are like willing to like do like the shitty work basically and do it with pleasure. So they have to clean, they have to know how to clean, they have to like get to know me in a sense and like try to, that's because that's also something I really enjoy, is when they know me and they are like really aware of what I want, and when they can literally like read my wishes before I have to tell them. And of course, they just have to do like everything that I tell them to do. Like there is, I'm not gonna force them to do anything that they don't want to.
But they may be fired.
But they may, they may be fired. They may be punished, and they may be play forced. I would call it.
Did you have one of those situations, where like how could it look like?
You mean where I did fire something, or where I did have to like force somebody to do something?
Yeah, exactly. Where someone said no to your will and you were like, okay.
Wait, let me remember. It doesn't happen often. I think, for example, for a situation that I remember between us was that I think I said something about licking my dirty shoes or so. So it was something about dirt, where I think you kind of set a boundary where he said like, okay, I don't want to, like, cause of the bacteria and stuff like that. So we had something like this where I'm gonna accept it, that people are not willing to do. But apart from that, I have to say, I think because I kind of have a nice way, but I'm also really strict, and it doesn't happen often that people don't do something I tell them. So they mostly do it. Do you remember something that you didn't want to do?
Yes.
Okay.
You have fired me once. Do you remember?
I do remember. Right now, he's not my official slave. Like,
he's fired.
I'm actually fired, yes.
Yes, he's my, I would call you my backup slave, like somebody who would always, correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody who would always be interested to serve me again. But yeah, there have been some issues, but say the situation, I don't remember.
I think you wanted to have a plant that I should buy for you. Mm-hmm. And I did buy it, mm-hmm. but then I was too late in bringing the plant to you.
Oh, yeah, I don't like being not being on time. So I don't like it.
I was a little upset, and you still even more upset, I think.
I was really upset, and I remember the situation now. And you were upset, and that's, of course, it's something that has place, like in the relationship, I would say. But I think the problem with us was that I'm very spontaneous, and I think kind of our lifestyles and what I wanted from my servant was a bit hard to maintain, also because of like the distance, because Berlin is just really big.
Can I ask how late he was?
How late were you? I think it wasn't that much of time. Maybe it
was don't know, but I remember I was working in the day, and I was really tired, and so I just relaxed a little in bed, and then I was too late.
Oh, did you?
I did, yes.
That's not good for Sarah.
It was not my intention. I was just. But I think the problem was really that I was working that much, and mm-hmm. I have quite often have. Deadlines and something like this, and then you wanted to have me, and then I had to say, well, I have a deadline, I'm not available that fast, and yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure I did not, like, let's go to another topic, please, because I don't want to get into an argument. I don't remember, like, this is also something, of course, you have to take that into account, like, work stuff. But at some point, like sometimes I just get annoyed, and sometimes my servants, they also have to deal with my, emotions. It's just the way it is. Like I'm gonna like be a bitch to you maybe because I had a bad day. And I might explain that the next day or so, but this is also something that I expect from my servant, to also be some kind of a basically emotional support by being my punching bag maybe, or being my object of
humiliation.
Yes, and that's gonna make me feel better if I have a bad day. So it's part of the game, I'd say.
Okay. Right now using your friend's servant,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And do they prioritize her before you? Do you come secondary there in the relationship?
I would say so, but this is nothing that this person decides. It's just more of kind of like a respect thing. Like, of course, I'm gonna like respect my friend's time. If they're gonna need the servant, then they can have it.
But do you treat them any different than your own slaves?
I do. I'm nicer to them. I am nicer to them. I don't really know why. It's funny because we, at the video shoot we had this weekend, this servant was there and working. And I caught myself, like, when I saw my friend, like, being, like, for example, punishing the slave for something, I was like, oh, but it wasn't that bad. And then they looked at me and they were like, yeah, but if it were your servant, how would you react? And I was like, well, yeah, you're right. I would probably, like, be even more pissed. Yes. I really like an obedient servant, and I really like, some people enjoy like bratty subs that are like talking back and being like, you know, kind of resistant. I don't like it. I really like a submissive, obedient servant that doesn't talk back a lot, and that makes it easy for me. Yeah
But among when
hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You have plenty of servants.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the same rules or can they have different rules?
Interesting question. They have pretty much the same basic rules, like the basic stuff, like being, this is also something that was really important for me, like being kind of like well groomed and like being on time, being kind of always checking if I send them a message and like answering like quickly and like stuff like that is like the same for everybody. But then the rules that come on top, like specific commands, for example, are different for each servant because they're all different themselves. And like with some of them, I'm less strict. With some of them, I'm more strict.
Because I remember when we did the photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
I also met you and another slave of yours.
Yes.
And there was this moment where you took your panties off and you said you have to go out to you, that you had to leave the room because you were not allowed to see her naked.
Obviously.
So this is also, but the other slave was allowed.
True. It's a different, that's a really good example. Like it's totally different dynamic with both of them. So he's more of a up until the point where I set him free again, he was my property. And he was really like mine. Like, I think we both would agree to that, that I really, owned him. And somebody that I owned or something that you own, you take different care of it, but you also, like, you also have more rights, I would say. And this other servant that was at shooting, well, he's like kind of like a, not a 24/7 slave of mine. He's just like a, sometimes slave, and we kind of play. We see each other like at parties sometimes. He's kind of like my nylon stocking slave. He always comes to massage my legs in nylons, and this is like the main part of that relationship. So yeah, it's definitely different now also that you mention it. Yeah.
What are some when you are getting started with having or taking on a new servant, what are some red flags that you're looking up for?
Somebody who says they kind of like in normal dating as well, somebody who says they've had like a lot of past dom sub relationships but like none of them lasted. This is something where I'm like, oh, but why? Like was there always the same issue? Because I'm also like, if I'm taking in like a new servant, then it's something I want to have like for a longer time, because it's always like it's fun work, but it takes some work to like teach them basically. And I forgot the question.
Yeah, no red flags.
Oh yeah, red flags. So definitely if they have a lot of like failed, and if they like talk bad about former owners / dominatrixes, that's a really like huge red flag where I'm like, okay, I'm not interested. Because like even if you leave a relationship like this, then you shouldn't really like, you should still have some respect for your former like dom. I mean, for me,
100% as to mm-hmm. your ex-partners for sure.
100%, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because as a master, you also have what you said, some like obligations.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things or like what is the most important to keep in mind as a master?
The most important part is being having empathy and knowing what it's like to be dominated by someone. I think if you've never made that experience before and you don't understand it, then I think personally you're never going to be a good master, because it's just like, it's even if you don't like receiving pain, to know how it works and to know, like, to test stuff on your own and basically like be the first to experience something before you put that on somebody else, I think that's really important, just to know what you're doing, basically. Yeah.
Of course, it's efficient to have a servant who can clean your house, who can give you a foot massage and anything. But what are some more wins? Like, how does it make your, like, I was going to say personality shift, but like, how do you grow as a person by having it, would you say? Or how have you been growing?
A lot. It helped me a lot to, first of all, get to know myself better. And especially, I think if you're raised as a woman, you're kind of, or I was kind of taught to be a lady and to like take myself back and like speak, don't speak too loud and stuff like that. I heard that so many times. And I think it really helped me to figure out like, okay, I have a wild, I have a loud, I have like an sometimes aggressive side in me. And it's, I shouldn't just like push it away. I should like embrace it. And this is a setting where I can really do that, because it's like, it's a win-win. Like, I can be mean to somebody and somebody enjoys that I'm mean to them. So it's like really nice to be inside, be in touch with a side of myself that in normal life is not appreciated, and it's very much appreciated in that setting. So that's really nice. On top of that, also, it's just fun to play with like the power dynamics in general. And it's also, I think, even, I don't know, this is just a thought that I had, but like, even if you, for example, want to open up a company or like have employees, for example, I think learning how to interact with my slaves and like basically teach them what I want, I think this can also be helpful for like, yeah, like future employees, for example, because, you know, like, of course, you're not going to treat your employees the same way than your slaves. But I think just having that authority helps you learn and grow from that. Yeah.
Yeah. How does an ordinary day for you when you have with together with a slave, 24/7 slave, look like?
So I can. I'm just telling you, like, ideal day, for example.
Yeah. Perfect.
So, for example, I tell my slaves like they never really sleep at my place. I don't like that. But so I would tell them a time where they should arrive, and then I wake up, and then they are at my door, and they brought ideally breakfast. Like I would send them a list of stuff that I want to eat, or they would already know. They would bring me breakfast, and they would prepare like the breakfast, they would make me tea, they would ideally also already know where everything, like, this only works for me, it only works with somebody that I already know and trust, because they already know where everything is in my apartment, so I don't have to explain a lot.
Do they also drink from a bowl in your place?
Sometimes. I don't remember. Did you, were you supposed to drink from a bowl, for example, when you drank something at my place?
No, I don't think so.
You drank like, I don't really remember. But he never really was like a puppy slave. So it's, I've had people, definitely had people drinking from bowls. But it depends. But if I would, then they would bring me breakfast. They would make my bed, then I would sit on my bed. They would obviously have to start by giving me a foot massage. This is like how I want to start my day. And if they do a good job, maybe then they will be allowed to, how do you say, further caress my feet and like play with my feet. And then I would, depending on how much work there's to do, I would give them a list. Like, for example, the bathroom has to be cleaned, or I need these groceries, or I need blah, blah, blah. So if there's any task like that, they would have to do that. In the meantime, I would either watch them, because I really enjoy watching them while they work, or I would do some work of my own, for example, do something on my computer. Then would I also like, well, I kind of have to have proof that I'm still the boss of the situation. So what I like to do is like interrupt them while they clean, for example, and then like, I don't know, for example, I have like a bell or so, and then I would ring the bell. And I would make them like do little tasks like hold my drink, and they would just like kneel next to me and hold my drink, or like roll me a cigarette and kind of like interrupt their main task for like little tasks. And yeah, basically, it would go on like this until the tasks are finished and until I don't feel the need to have my servant next to me, and then I would send them home. Like I would sometimes play with them a bit, but I like to, how do you say? I like to differentiate between like a work day for my servant and kind of like a fun day.
Play with them, is that sexual?
It's definitely sexual in the mind, and it's more like, yeah, stuff like that happens more in the minds than in real life, although it also has to do with the dynamic I have with the servant. Like, for example, he was never allowed to see me naked, or like touch me naked, or like be sexual like on me. But everything like in the mind is allowed, and like I like to play with that. But yeah, it also depends. Like, some slaves are allowed more, like they're allowed to have an orgasm or something like that. He was never allowed to have an orgasm next to me.
But some of them you use for sex also, when it comes to you yourself, or?
I don't like to have sex with my servants. I don't like it. I don't like the... like, it does turn me on sometimes, the situations, but then I like to go and fuck somebody else and not my slave, because it's not, I think it would harm the dynamic. Like, I might be open to have somebody who like pleasures me, but just me, and like, but even that, it has to be like it would have to be a very special servant and a very special situation, I would say. Yeah,
that's interesting. But how
I would allow them to be next to me while having sex, for example, but it's just like I really like to tease, and I kind of enjoy like never giving them all of me. Like, I would always like tease them and like give them a bit, but I don't want to give them all of it. They have to give all of it to me, so it would kind of be the wrong dynamic.
Now we have come to the part of the podcast where, if you're a patron, you'll get to listen to where Sarah gives us her best tips on how to get started and what to think about before getting your first servant, as well as how to find a community and more pleasures in life. To listen, go to patreon.com/playfulmagazine. What are some of the most satisfying moments that you have been through with your slaves?
Satisfying on like a mental, like
any level, yeah.
I think all of the experience that I have made and that I make are at some point satisfying. But what I enjoy the most is, like I already mentioned that in the interview that we did, is like public stuff. I really like that because I feel like, I don't know, I can't describe it, but it kind of feels like I'm on a like on a stage, and like the street is my stage, and I really enjoy, like I have a lot of fun with that. I let them pretend to be like puppies or so, and like bark at like random people that walk by. Or I remember, like, always when we met the first times, we always met in the streets and like somewhere outside. And I had so many fun situations with like strangers who are like asking me, for example, when I see them, people who work where I live, for example, and they see me with slaves, and then they ask me like the next day, or like they give me like certain looks, and I'm like, yeah, well, and then sometimes, like, you know, you get to talk with them and then you kind of explain. Or I remember one situation, like there was like, I don't remember, was I hitting you or something like in the streets?
Exactly.
And there's this woman. And there's this woman living there and like looking out of her window, and she started screaming. What did she say? It was something like, ah, what are you doing? Like, stop it. I don't remember.
Do you keep them in a leash then when you walk with them, and they walk on all four, or how does it usually look like?
Well, we did do that sometimes, but after some time, it just gets really like, it's really like exhausting for the shoulder muscles, I think. So yeah, we did that a couple of times, but then I would allow them to walk on 2 feet, like behind me. So yeah, that's like, these are my most fun moments, and I they satisfy me the most, because it's like, it's just like presenting something that society does so not expect. Like, I'm this young, young naive girl, and normally they would expect me to be the one, you know, like walking next to the man or like behind the man and like being like, oh, no, but they're seeing something that's so different to what society tells us is normal. So they're like really confronted with their like inner issues with power or patriarchy, or just, I think it's just like power in general. Like, a lot of people have issues with that. And yeah, it's kind of fun because it's always like a interactive performance. And it's also like, yeah, like really interesting to see how people react, and how sometimes they are. It's interesting that a lot of people stand up for my servants and slaves because they think I treat them wrong and I'm like violent to them. I am, but I'm like, it's consensual. A lot of people say something, but when I've been in situations where men were violent to me in public, people never said something, which is quite interesting also to see. So it's kind of like social experiments. And yeah, I enjoy that the most.
That is very interesting. Yeah, that mm-hmm. it's... Hmm. But okay. Have you ever fallen in love with a servant?
I think I have certain... like moments of love with my servants, and I have a certain love for them and for all the people I interact with, but not in a like, oh, I want to be in a relationship with you, and like, because you start to idealize a lot, and you start to project like your fantasies, like you're like, oh, why doesn't every, sometimes it happens where I'm like, oh, why isn't every man my slave? Like, why isn't everybody treating me like that? And it kind of, it's frustrating sometimes. And then it makes you project that onto a relationship you have with a sub. But I, for myself, I always keep that inner distance so I wouldn't let myself fall in love. And I don't try to enforce it with the other person as well. Just to keep things easy.
Does your family know about this part of your life?
They do.
What do they think about it?
I think it scares them a little bit, but it also fascinates them, I think. A long time they didn't really know what I was doing, and I think they didn't want to know. But I kind of like, I'm pretty open with that. So I kind of like, sometimes I say some things, or where they ask me, like, I'm not going to lie to them. I'm going to like tell them what is my experience or what I'm doing. It's a weird thing between they're embarrassed about it, like if anyone else would know of it, and they're kind of like struggling with it. Because it's also sexual, and it's also like, you know, a lot of people think it's sick or blah, blah, blah. But I try to be very, first of all, I'm very honest with my experience and I tell them about it. And second of all, I also like try to be, because I read a lot about it and it's a lot about psychology. And I also like bring that side to the table where I'm like, okay, but this and that. And for example, like the part in the brain that is good for pleasure is also the part that's activated when you're in pain and stuff like that. For example, it helps people to understand it more when you go from a science side. So yeah, so they know a bit, but I don't think they know all of it, and I don't think they want to know all of it, to be honest.
They stopped asking questions.
Sometimes that's the way, like sometimes they don't really ask, or where I can like sense that they're scared to ask me, like, what have you been doing the last, or how was this party? Because they know something like this could be going on. But I honestly, I told my mom, I'm like, mom, some of the parts I learned from you, like, to be honest, like some of the, I know you're not a dominatrix, but she's very, she's a dominant person, for example. And she was like the first, like a very powerful woman that I learned from. So some of the parts are from that. I told her that she didn't love it that I said it. But yeah, I think it just takes a bit of time to understand it.
Yeah, I guess. Thank you so much.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe, and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists, or even ask your own question to one of our guests, follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining, and see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.